Good morning. This is from Romans 10, verses 1 to 15. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Sue. We are currently doing a very short preaching series on sharing the gospel. And 2 weeks back, we heard from Bishop Sarju speaking to us from Luke 10 about Jesus sending out his disciples, all the followers he had, to go to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. And here in Romans, we read, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The good news of Jesus, the gospel. You know, what is it? What is the gospel? What comes to your mind when you think about the gospel, the good news of Jesus? What comes to your mind? What do you think of? This is a time for response. What, Juliana?
Salvation,
yeah. What else? What comes to your mind when you think about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, Debbie?
God's message of love.
Yeah, that we are loved by him. Anyone else? Message of hope, yeah. Forgiveness, peace. Acceptance. Wow, that's the gospel. That's the good news. And it is incredible. It's wonderful. It's amazing news. That we are loved, that we have hope, that we have peace, that we are saved. And that news, that story needs to be told, needs to be shared. What does being sent out by Jesus mean for us in our daily lives? How can we as a church be even better at encouraging one another when we try to respond to the charge that we hear most Sundays? Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is quite a recent mission map of the state of the Christian faith in this country, in England. And I'm not sure that you can see the details, but you know, there's a significant group, it's quite a significant size of the population that go to a Christian church. Probably six million or so. That's a significant number. But you can see from this chart that there are 10 million or so people who are deemed to be on a kind of a cultural fringe. People who are in some shape or form connected to church, to Christianity. They may even, you know, tick "I'm a Christian" box on a survey, and they may attend one or two services throughout the year at special occasions. You have this slightly larger group of people who are kind of indifferent to faith. They're not hostile, but you know, they probably see the church as a bit outdated, not too relevant, maybe has a role to kind of minister to the poor and the needy, the vulnerable, but not particularly interested or engaged with the church. And then you have even a much larger group of those who are in a dismissive group. And people who are a bit more hostile, maybe have tried Christianity, but just it's not for them. And probably not interested, not inquiring, and probably quite weary of the church and the Christian faith. So where are these cultural fringe people? Those who are indifferent to faith, those who are dismissive of the Christian faith, where are they? Who are they? They are, of course, all around us, aren't they? We work with them on Mondays to Fridays. They are our neighbors across the garden fence. They are those we play sports with from time to time. Those in the local shop. Those people we have in our families, amongst our relatives, we see them regularly. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We know from research today that people in general are quite ignorant of Christian teaching and Christian things. They don't really know what we believe. We also know that people think little about life after death. They're more interested in making the most of life now. People are more conscious of shame, struggle, and doubt, but little time for guilt and sin. However, people out there, people in these groups, they are not as irreligious as we may think. Many of them pray. Many of them have had spiritual experiences. And perhaps as a surprise, people think positively of Christians they know. And also people are open to talk about spiritual things, particularly the younger generation. So that's the context we find ourselves in today. And in general, I believe that there are three main aspects of sharing the gospel, which we are touching on during this short sermon series. God's story, what God has done for us, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It's about my story, your story. What has Jesus done for me? That also needs to be told. And then their story, people's story. How can we make sense of the gospel to others? How can we build a bridge into their lives? A good thing to remember is that the gospel that we proclaim is not as much a series of facts to convey, but rather good news to share about a person who can make a profound difference in people's lives, in every person's life. And from my experience, because I've done, I guess, a fair bit of personal evangelism, having worked as a missionary for a long time, my experience is that, you know, when I start to have a faith conversation, start to share Jesus with someone, quickly that conversation will turn into a bit more personal, opportunity for personal sharing. People may say, Bertin, this Jesus you're talking about, you know, yeah, sounds great, but surely he won't or he can't do anything in my life. What an opportunity we have to share the impact, the gospel, impact Jesus has made on my life, on your life, in our lives. And I want to suggest that in general, for the gospel to be good news for others, it also has to be good news in our lives as we reach out to them. You and I, we don't have a relationship with a concept or an ideology, but we have a genuine relationship with God, the creator of all things, and the one who's daily present and at work in our lives. I just want to share this with you, and this is really important. This is the best shampoo ever, ever. Tresemme. Come and just look at this, the shape of this bottle, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the color scheme here. It's fantastic. And it says there are five, not four, not three, not two, five moisturizing benefits for all day hydration. And you may wonder, what are those fives? Okay. Healthy looking, shiny, smooth, soft, manageable. Wow. Already, most of you, I'm sure you are convinced that this is indeed the best shampoo ever. But one or two of you perhaps, not totally sure. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, have a look. Have a look at this fluffy, shiny hair. Come on. Yes, I know there's a bit of a growing bald patch in the middle. There's a different bottle for that patch. But in general, Errol, do you want to have a little? No, okay. Okay. Of course, it works. It works. This product works. This shampoo is indeed the best shampoo. Who would like a bottle? Who would like a bottle? The birthday lady. Yes. Brilliant. Okay. The product works. I've tried it. It works. Does the gospel work in my life? Is it real? Is it real? Okay. You know, people name all sorts of key reasons in them coming to faith. So, people come to faith because they are visited by Christians. But actually, probably just only 1% of those coming to faith would say that's the main reason. Because of a church program, because of toddler group, holiday club, 2%. Quite good. It's important to do. Because of bereavement, they begin to seek faith, seek after God, and they find God. 3%. What about Sunday clubs? Sunday clubs, how many? What percentage? 4, 5, 6. 6%, they reckon. Because a personal contact with church staff, you know, with vicar and with Shoba and, you know, how many? 8%. But friends or relatives, you and me, who connect with people out there and invite them along to events and gatherings, 77%. Because of a friendship, because of the connection that you have with the people around you. We all have a story, and that story needs to be told. We read from Romans, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. But this is hard, isn't it? If not, I won't speak to you afterwards. If you don't find evangelism hard, challenging, difficult, come and see me afterwards because I got a job or two for you. But it is hard. Why is it so difficult to share our faith or share Jesus with people around us? Why is it so difficult? This is response time. Why is it hard? Why do you find it hard? Exactly, we haven't got all the answers to all the questions. Okay, Liz. Yes. Yes. Exactly, fear of rejection. What else?
Embarrassment.
Yeah. One or two more things?
Timing.
Yeah. When is a good time to have this conversation, this deep conversation? One or two more?
We are
not perfect, exactly. Why would they want to hear us? I'm not perfect. I haven't got what it takes. I feel weak. I feel powerless. I have nothing to offer. I get confused. I can't think straight. I feel I'm intruding on their privacy. The gospel is not cool. It's not intelligent enough. I haven't got an exciting story to tell. You know, most of us, we have fears and worries when it comes to sharing our faith, sharing our testimonies. I read in the Christian magazine a little while back, nobody likes evangelism. Not you, not me, not Christians, not non-Christians. It's hard work. It's challenging. Why is it so difficult to talk about the most central and significant part of our lives? I guess if we love God and our neighbor, which we are admonished to do, then the natural outworking of that love will be to introduce our neighbors to the God we love and the God who loves them. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So, if you do have an opportunity to share something of your story, where do you start? Where do you begin? How do you go about it? You know, in general, it's not just about getting the formula right. It's not just saying lots of things and every second word is Jesus. It is about being real. But it's also thinking about what part of my story could link with them and their story. Some people like to kind of work at preparing a testimony, which is quite helpful. I've done that. And maybe think about different part of their faith journey, kind of break it down in different parts, and then to reflect on that, such as, what was my life before I encountered Jesus, encountered faith? How did I come to faith? What was that part where I made a decision for Jesus? And how has my life been since? How has it changed? I often think about these three areas. Personal power, change. Why am I Christian? What is my relationship with Jesus like today? Power. I find it often helpful in conversation to think about times when God has particularly been very close in my life, or I've experienced Him speaking to me, or I felt His love in a very kind of tangible way, or experienced maybe a physical healing which I've done on one or two occasions, and often that is a good thing to remember and to share a power encounter with Jesus. And also change, that's very important. How has my life changed during this journey of faith? What part of my character, what are some of the things that I'm not doing today? Because faith has changed me. What are some of the things I am doing today? Because Jesus is in my life. What we really hope to communicate is that God is good and He's done great things for us. Christianity is real. It is a gospel of not only of words, but of power. This is challenging, but the story, your story, needs to be told. See this as an invitation to go on an adventure. Take small steps forward. Don't think big. Don't think you have to convert someone in a short 5-minute coffee break. Let us encourage one another as a church. Let us spur one another on, as it says in Scripture, to share something about our faith, our story, with the person that we encounter throughout the week. And when we mess it up, that's okay. It's okay to fail. But let's keep going. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And as I finish, I want to share briefly about the Thy Kingdom Come initiative that we are part of again this year as a church. And this is an initiative by Archbishop Welby. It's been going on for a few years now. And it is a kind of focused times of prayer during Ascension, or between Ascension, which is this Thursday, the 26th of May, through to Pentecost Sunday, which is the 5th of June. And so there are really three main focuses, three main aspects of this Thy Kingdom Come initiative. Firstly, it is to reflect on our own relationship with Jesus, and it's to seek to kind of go deeper with Him. And secondly, it is to pray for others, particularly to pray for 5 people that we are in regular contact with throughout those, pray for them throughout those 10-11 days. Pray daily for 5 people who don't come to church, who are not Christians, but people that we see on a regular basis. And then thirdly, it is to be open for opportunities to share something about our faith with them. I would love us as a church to engage with this. And if each one of us can identify 5 people, you don't need to tell them, of course, that you are praying for them. But if each one of us identify 5 people to pray for, we as a church will be praying for 500 people every day for 10-11 days. Isn't that amazing? That's brilliant. There are some booklets at the back. There's a prayer journal that you can take. It will help us in our personal reflection of our relationship with Jesus. The focus is on God's Spirit. And also there's one reflection on 1 Peter written by Archbishop Welby. Maybe don't take kind of both of them, take one or the other of them. And also what you will find is that in both of these booklets there is a page on praying for 5 people and space to fill in their names. I would love you to get involved in this. 5 people, not 6, not 7, not 10, don't be greedy, just 5 people, okay, to pray for during this Thy Kingdom Come season. More information will be in Martyrs Matters tomorrow and also on our website. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you so much for that wonderful gospel, the good news of Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, for the way you changed our lives. Lord, how the gospel has changed us. Thank you so much for the stories that we have. Stories of you at work in our lives. And help us, Lord. Help us to go. Help us to share. Help us to share our story with people around us. Help us during this week and next week, during this Thy Kingdom Come season, to pray, but also to grab the opportunities to come, that comes our way, to share you with others. We pray this in Jesus' name.